Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the first lesson from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Please remember this verse. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." The book of Revelation is the last book of the Holy Scriptures, both in terms of when it was written and in terms of what it's about. It gives a glimpse of how salvation history will play out in the last days. Revelation gives us no information at all about when the world will come to an end. It is not for us to know the times or the dates which the Father has set by his own authority, Jesus says in Acts chapter 1. The day for our redemption is known not even by the angels of heaven, nor by the Son, only by the Father. But the book of Revelation does give us an outline of how matters will play out until Christ comes again. To put it quite simply, things will get worse before the end. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are set loose to cause great suffering and harm. Wars and rumors of war, earthquakes and famine will come. False Christs will come with dazzling signs to deceive, as will the Antichrist, who will unite people to himself and away from the truth. Now, the specifics of the who and the when of these things are and will remain a mystery, but it is an outline of what is to come. And salvation history has yet to be played out in full. Jesus says that the last days will be cut short, because if they were not cut short, even the elect would not be able to withstand it and be saved. And even that little tidbit is an important revelation. The elect in Christ, believers, are not called to enjoy this life or to get out of it as much as they can. Our calling is that we are supposed to survive without losing our soul. That's the goal. Not founding a successful business or raising our kids to be able to make their way in this world and work the angles. No, we are called to suffer in faith and to survive in faith. Not physically, but spiritually. The goal of this life is survival through the great tribulation. And in the face of this great tribulation, chapter 7 of Revelation is a marvelous comfort. The book is narrated by the Apostle John as he receives a vision by the Holy Spirit concerning these last days. And we have been in the last days since Christ has ascended to heaven. Verses 1 through 8 depict God placing a protective seal on his people, and thus marking them as those who will be delivered from the great and final tribulation into heaven. And verses 9 through 17 give us a glimpse of that heaven, where the saints in white robes live forever with Christ the Lamb. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had not been given power to harm earth and sea, who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. In this scene of the 144,000, John sees God's people on earth as they are ready to carry out their mission to live lives consecrated to God through Jesus Christ and calling others to do the same. But before the tribulation, he sees them sealed. John is comforted and encouraged by this sealing, for it means that no matter how much he and God's people on earth suffer as they fulfill the mission of their Lord, God will protect them in their faith. Now, over and against much preaching out there, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not meant to be a carnal security that we may participate in the ways of the world. You must realize that if you are comfortable in the world, in the direction it's going, in the spirit that moves it, you are a fool. There is a tribulation coming, and it's already here. And it's always here for those who fear, love, and trust in God above all things. For we are strangers here. And 1 Corinthians 2 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." We live in a world of five senses, but we have been given a sixth sense, faith. And this sense has us see the things of God, the evil around us, and it is frightening. Most of you saw Emmanuel Lutheran Church reject their divinely called pastor. Faith tells you that what they did was reject Christ himself. For Jesus says to those called to preach his word, "Whoever rejects you rejects me." Some of you even warned them of this as it was happening and were scoffed at. Literally. How can someone in a church laugh at a warning from the Bible? Because without faith in the Word of God, they are blind to spiritual things. Without faith in God's word of warning, the whole situation at Emmanuel just looked like a group of people trying to manage a difficult situation as best they could. Emotions were high, people confused, but nothing really evil going on. Just real people, struggling people, trying to work through real problems, right? So when someone says, "What's going on here is evil and wrong, and will bring about God's wrath," it sounds to them like silly superstition, like telling someone not to open an umbrella indoors, or to walk under a ladder, or not to spill the salt. They don't believe that there's more to the world than what you see with your eyes, that there are spiritual truths and real consequences to actions taken against God's commands. The word for the world's disregard for things unseen is impiety. The world is impious. It does not give proper respect and show proper restraint when handling the things of God. It treats them lightly because it cannot see spiritual realities by faith. The world is blind and storing up wrath for itself on the day of judgment. an illustration. Marie Curie conducted pioneering research on radioactivity, as you may know. She was the first woman to win the Nobel Prize and the first person and only woman to win twice. Her contributions to the field were groundbreaking in the world. But her death was a tragic irony. She died from long-term exposure to radiation. The damaging effects of ionizing radiation were not known at the time of her work, which had been carried out without the safety measures that were later developed. She had carried test tubes containing radioactive isotopes in her pocket, and she stored them in her desk drawer, remarking on the faint light that the substance gave off in the dark. Although her many decades of exposure to radiation caused chronic illness and ultimately her death, she never really did acknowledge the health risks of radiation exposure. And here's one way to put it. She died from living impiously and irreverently around radioactive materials. And even when she became sick unto death, she refused to acknowledge that it was her carelessness, albeit ignorant carelessness, in handling radioactive materials that caused it. To disobey God's commands is radioactive. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. To eat and drink the Lord's Supper without faith causes physical and spiritual death. To kick out your pastor is to kick Christ out of your church. For a man to dress like a woman, even though it doesn't look harmful, is an abomination to the Lord. To teach and believe false doctrine is to use God's name in vain, and he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. These things may not appear to have any bad consequences, but they do, according to God's word. Faith sees it, but unbelief scoffs at it. The world is radioactive with God's wrath due to the wickedness of man, and it's getting worse and will continue to get worse until the last day when, like in the days of Noah, he will look down, see the magnitude of the wickedness, and send a final judgment. The evil will be so bad, Jesus asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You might think that if it gets that bad, people will notice and the world will repent. Didn't happen in Noah's day. Won't happen before Judgment Day. Just look around you. It's becoming legal and socially acceptable for children who aren't old enough to marry to decide for themselves they need a sex change. Only a few years ago, I didn't think that could ever happen. Now it's being normalized. And granted, this is still controversial, but that's only until it's not. Things will get worse before the end. And like Marie Curie, the world will refuse to admit that it is their carelessness in handling the things of God that will bring about the destruction. The point is that without faith to see evil, the world is blind to the radioactive reality of God's wrath poured out on sin. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the great tribulation. Living in the toxicity of a world in rebellion against God, and therefore in rebellion against you who are of God. The world is blind to the radioactive reality of God's wrath poured out on sin. But you are not. You are not blind, because by faith you have seen the wrath of God poured out on someone standing in your place. Jesus Christ covers you like a lead blanket, protecting you from the nuclear fallout that happens when unwashed sinners stand in the presence of a holy God. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Revelation 7 says, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads." God has placed a protective seal upon all who repent and have faith in Jesus Christ, and he has given them the gift of his Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." And this is the confidence that is yours in Jesus Christ, that you may say with St. Paul, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." And this is the good news, that because of Jesus Christ, you are sealed and protected from the wrath of God earned by a sinful, rebellious, and disobedient humanity. You are protected through faith. Psalm 121. "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." And even in heaven, he shelters you. As Revelation says, "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall seal your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We now continue with the Nicene Creed, page 158.